single soul. Reaching a world and stepping in closer. CGM TV.
Hello, my name is David. Welcome to Living Life. It's such an honor sharing God's word with you guys today. And I just hope that we could just really get into God's word together. When you think of God's many characteristics, what are some of the things that come to your mind? I know a lot of us have known and experienced a God of love, God of compassion, God of mercy. Sometimes God, we know in our lives, we've experienced God's anger and God's discipline. But did you know that God, our God, is a God of justice as well? I think this is something that's kind of overlooked in the Bible. We know that God is full of love and mercy, but sometimes when we think of God of justice, it doesn't really fit in. But I want us to examine what it means, what justice means in the Bible, and how God displays his justice upon his people through the word. So as we look into Isaiah chapter 61 today, it's probably one of the most important chapters in the Bible when it comes to God's justice. So let's get into God's word together.
Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 11. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Aliens will shepherd your flocks, foreigners will work your fields and vineyards, and you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of their shame, my people will receive a double portion, and instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance. And so they will inherit a double portion in their land, and everlasting joy will be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and iniquity. In my faithfulness I will reward them and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up, and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the Sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations.
I want to begin by reading verses 1 and 2. Again, very famous verses. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead a spirit of despair. These are very powerful words, and we get a glimpse of God's heart. God truly has a heart for the brokenhearted. God truly has a heart for those who are oppressed. When there is no justice in society, when people are wrongfully accused, when the socially vulnerable, the widows and the orphans, and people who are in need, when they are ignored, God's heart burns for them. And again, we get a glimpse, and this was what Jesus' ministry was about. And in Luke chapter 4, when Jesus goes back to Galilee and he preaches for the first time in his hometown, these are the very words he speaks. He says, "I have come to proclaim good news to the poor." And this is the reason why we go to the ends of the earth, to different continents, to third world countries where they've never heard the gospel, because we want to bring the good news to the oppressed and to the captives. And we want to proclaim freedom for the captives and to release from darkness for the prisoners. So people who are living in bondages to sin, living in complete darkness, Jesus has come to set them free and to bring good news to the poor again. So this was Jesus' ministry summed up in these two verses. And as we continue on with the text in verse 7, it says, "Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. And instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land. And everlasting joy will be yours." Verse 8, "For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them." So God is very explicit in stating that he loves justice. There's certain things that God loves. He loves obedience. He says that obedience is better than sacrifice. God loves compassion. God loves humility. But one of the things that God loves is justice. Justice. I think it's a rare occasion where we get to really get a full glimpse of God's heart on display. And God is saying, "I don't like wrongdoing." When there is not a single righteous person in society, when evil is so rampant that it's hard to see good, I hate that. But what I like, what I love, is when the poor people are taken care of, when those who are in need are taken care of, when the orphans and the widows and the socially vulnerable, when the wrongfully accused, when they are taken care of, when my people take care of them, he's even more excited and he's even more pleased. And I think this is a reminder for us. Sometimes we think that just going to church well, keeping our Sabbath, tithing, and just being good to those who see around us, that's what it means to be a Christian. But God is telling us to go beyond that. To go beyond the little walls that we have built. But who are the socially vulnerable in our society? Who are those that need our help? Who are the needy? One of the things that I struggled with was the homeless people. And to me, a long time ago growing up, I used to be scared of them, to be honest. I thought they were smelly. I thought they were scary. And every time I saw them just begging, whether it be on the subway or on the streets, I would take the furthest way possible to avoid them. But as I grew older and as I grew more mature, and as I began to really understand God's heart and his love for justice, I began to realize that God was kind of burdening in my heart to reach out to those people. And one of the things that pained me the most was I would be going to a buffet or eating a really expensive meal, and there were certain people out there who couldn't afford a single meal with $1 or $2, and that really, really burdened my heart. And God began to break down those walls that I had built. And as I began to pray for them, as I began to really just understand God's heart, I started serving them. And the ministry that I served before Onuri, we would go to these homeless shelters once a month to serve those who are in need. And strange thing happened. My fear for them, my dislike for them just completely disappeared. And God gave me this overwhelming love for the homeless people. And verse 10, it says, "I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up, and a garden causes seed to grow, so the Sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. I pray that we may be reminded today through today's word that God is a God of justice and He loves it. Let us get into time of prayer. What are some of the things that God is burdening your heart with? Again, Jesus, He came to proclaim the good news to the poor, to free the oppressed, to free the slaves. What are areas in my heart where I lack compassion in, where I haven't shown really God's justice and compassion upon the people that He has called me to? I want us to really reflect on these words today. Just as God's heart goes for justice, just as Jesus' ministry centered around these things, I pray that God may just really break down the barriers in my heart, the walls that I've built up, and I pray that we may really seek after God's heart as He really, as His heart burns for the widows and the orphans and people who are in need. Let us go into time of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank You so much for the message You have given us today. Thank You so much for just reminding us through our quiet time today that You are a God of justice and that You love justice. I pray that if there are any blind spots in our spiritual life where we are immune to, where we simply do not realize that You have burdened our hearts, I pray that You may just make us realize that Your heart burns for the oppressed, that Your heart burns for those who are in need of justice. And I pray that through these last few days that we may just be the light, the salt and light of this world, Heavenly Father, Lord. I pray that we may be able to carry out Your justice and Your righteousness wherever we go. And as we put on the full armor of God, and as we are Spirit-filled, let us be like You, and let us love justice as well in our lives. We thank You. We love You, and in Your precious name we pray. Amen.
For a single soul, reaching a world that's stepping in closer.